We didn't sing happy birthday or happy anniversary the last couple weeks, and those two had 47 years last week. Amen. You believe she put up with him that long? Amen. Amen. So thankful for God's blessings and 47 years. Brother Shuey, I haven't done anything for 47 years. But I hope my wife can put up with me as long as yours has you. If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 16 through 21 is where we'll find our text today. Our series is Trust and Obey. We talked a couple of weeks ago about what it means to trust, to have faith. And then last week we looked at what happens when we don't trust. It's detrimental to everything in our lives and our future when we don't believe God. But what is it exactly that we're trusting in? So many people today have the idea that if you just have faith, then everything will be okay. You just believe. As a matter of fact, scientific studies have been done to show that people who have faith in something, that they seem to do better health-wise and in every other way. But I want to submit to you today that our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. And our faith is not in fables or myths. But our faith is in the very Word of God. And that's where we stand. Let's stand together, 2 Peter 1. We stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless your word today and help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Pray that you'd give wisdom to our hearts. Today I pray for those that are among us who have not faith in the Scriptures. I pray that something that's said or done today would work in their heart, that they would believe the word of God. I pray, Lord, for all of us that our trust would be in you, that our lives would be built on the only solid foundation of your holy word. I pray that you would give us a love for the Scriptures, that we would love it and we would live by it. Lord, please help me now, for I'm nothing without you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to tell you today that we ought to trust in this more sure word of prophecy. You see, this book we call the Bible is a collection of 66 books written over a period of 15 to 1600 years by over 40 different men on three different continents and three different languages. And we call it the Bible, but it's actually a collection of books. It is the Word of God. Amen. We believe today that it doesn't just contain the Word of God, but it is the very Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, he prayed to the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Amen. We read in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy, the letter to Timothy that also helps us to understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all God-breathed. So, and when you study it all out, and there's so much here that we don't have time to dig into everything, but I hope to give you some some understanding today to know that this Bible is the very Word of God, and that's where our faith rests. Amen. It's our all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. All that we believe, all that we do as Christians, all we believe, all that we do as a church is based on the Word of God. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. We trust in His Word. Now here in 2 Peter 1, Peter, who was one of the early apostles, one of the first disciples of Jesus, you remember Andrew, was saved, and when he met Jesus, he ran and he first found his brother Peter and brought his brother to Jesus and said, "We found Messiah." So Peter was saved. He was baptized early on in Jesus' earthly ministry. He was with him from the beginning. He was an eyewitness of all these things. We read about Peter and how God used him through the book of Acts. And so faithfully serving the Lord through all of this time of the New Testament that we have in the Scriptures, one of the longest lasting of the apostles, if you will. And so he says, "We have not followed," verse 16, "cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." So when we look to the Bible, we have eyewitness testimony. That's a big deal, and I hope you understand what a big deal that is today, because with just one or two eyewitnesses, you could be put to death in the United States of America today. Amen. One or two eyewitnesses that claim that you murdered somebody could have you put to death. Amen. And this is Oklahoma. We still kill people here. Amen. We still believe in capital punishment. That happens here. Amen. And so I want you to understand eyewitness testimony is powerful. These men who are eyewitnesses of the power and majesty of Christ, these eyewitnesses of the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ, these are men who willingly suffered and died because they saw the risen Savior. They saw the power of Christ. They heard the marvelous words with which He spake. They saw the miracles that He performed. They saw Him live. They saw Him die. They saw Him risen again. And so they were willing to give their lives for what they knew to be true. Now listen, a lot of people today even will die for a lie if they think it's true, but nobody in their right mind would die for something they know to be a lie. And these eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ suffered and died in horrendous ways because they were eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. History tells us, Fox's Book of Martyr lists some of the ways these apostles were died. Some of them were skinned alive. Some of them were drugged to death behind horses. History tells us that Peter was crucified upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was. What I want you to know is these men, under pain of death, they held true to their testimony because their testimony was true. Listen, if you were trying to concoct this great scheme, this great myth, this great fable that Jesus died and rose again, I'm sure that'd be all just fine until they start cutting your skin off. And until they start skinning you alive like a fish, I'm sure that it'd be all good to go along with that until they start murdering your family in front of you. I promise you that those men would not have continued in the lie under that torment. But they didn't. They stayed faithful because they knew it to be true. And they knew specifically about the power and the majesty of Jesus Christ, the power and coming of our Lord. It wasn't cunningly devised fables. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And what I want you to understand is it's not the Bible that's the myth. It's not the Word of God that's the fable. It's not the miraculous accounts of Scripture that's the fable. It's when you leave the Word of God to believe something else. That's when you're going into fables. That's when you're getting into lies. Listen, it's so crazy in our world today. We have people who believe that everything came from nothing. They call it a singularity that exploded into everything in the Big Bang. Friends, that's the myth. That's the fable. The truth is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when you leave the truth, you go into fables. So we haven't given you cunningly devised fables, but we've given you the truth. And people are turning away from the truth onto fables today. And I just want to challenge you in your life that you believe the Bible. God be true and every man a liar. And you say, well, what about all this scientific evidence? Well, you take all that scientific evidence and you look at it through the lens of Scripture. Because true science always agrees with the Bible. But there is science falsely so-called in the world today. And that's what we want to get away from. These were eyewitnesses, not cunningly devised fables. Can you look to Luke chapter 1 real quick? Luke 1 verse 1. Luke 1 verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, there's our trust, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. When you read the book of Luke, you're reading an account of eyewitness accounts, and it was these men who had these truths and passed on those truths. And he says, I want you to take these things that you've learned, Theophilus. I want you to get it. I want you to get it because there's a certainty to the things that you believe. It's not cunningly devised fables. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read something similar. Acts 1, verse 1. Luke again, the former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I want you to understand that the New Testament that you hold in your hand today, friends, is a record of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and everything that we believe and stand on today. It all hinges, it all stands or falls on the resurrection of Christ. But he showed himself alive by many infallible proof. We have these infallible witnesses. We have this amazing historical record of the resurrection of Jesus Christ because of the Word of God. There's more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ than there is for the existence of Alexander the Great. And yet I've never met anybody who knows anything of history at all that would question the existence of Alexander the Great. We have very little evidence of his existence, of his conquest, but there is evidence, but we have thousands of times more evidence for the resurrected Savior. And yet people would scoff and mock your faith today. It's not cunningly devised fables, it's eyewitness testimony. He said, when we gave you the truth about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we preach to you, and Peter, in both of his epistles, his letters are written to Christians who are going through terrible persecution. He's encouraging them to stay faithful, and he talks to them about the salvation that they have in Christ, and he's admonishing them to look ahead because the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory that he has prepared for those that believe in him. And I want you to understand that whatever you're going through in this life, you need to look to the Word of God. It'll give you strength and help. And if nothing else, you could just say, one day it's going to get better. Amen. If you have Christ, you have hope. But without Christ, you have no hope. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. I meet people who think that hell is happening right here on the earth. And friends, you have no idea. You have no idea how horrible, terrible hell is going to be. Second Peter chapter 3 verse 11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. See, that's one of the things that Peter was preaching. He said, me and the other apostles, we were preaching to you these things. What? Well, we're telling you that Jesus is coming again. We're telling you that this world is going to be dissolved, that everything's going to be burned up. We're telling you that there's going to be an eternal judgment to those who reject Christ. Amen. But there's hope for those who believe. Amen. We're not making this stuff up. We were eyewitnesses. And this is what that glorious and majestic Savior Jesus Christ, this is what he told us, and it's what we've passed on to you, and it's what we want you to hold on to and pass on to others. It's not some old dead book. It's the living word of God. I talked to a guy on the airplane, went to Spokane a couple weeks ago, and this guy was raised up Baptist. And I want to tell you, when I start a conversation with somebody who says they used to be a Baptist, I just kind of strap in because I know it's going to get rough. I'm going to tell you, the hardest people, this is the honest truth, the hardest people I've ever witnessed to in my life are people who used to be Baptist. Because when you've been exposed to the truth and you reject that truth, your mind is not right. Your heart is not right. I don't know what kind of Baptist he was, but if it was really a Baptist church, I believe he was exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he had the Bible, he had the Word of God. There was an opportunity for the truth, but he came right up to it and he said it wasn't for him. But he made this accusation. He said, listen, you take hell out of the Bible and what is there? What good is it? He said, you just got this carrot dangling in front of you, in front of people, and that's what it, but you take that carrot away, it doesn't matter. But guess what, friends? Even if you don't like it, even if you hate the thought of it, it doesn't change the truth. You can't take it out of the way. It exists. There is a place called hell where those who reject Christ will spend eternity. Those who have violated the law of God, who have rejected the truth of God, sinners, which is everybody. There is a place where everyone will spend eternity in the lake of fire. And there is a place called heaven, prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ himself for all who repent and believe in him. You can't take it out because it's there. You don't get to pick what you like and what you don't like. This guy tried to say, well, Jesus was a good man and all these nice things, but then he would try to say that hell wasn't real. You don't get to do that. Amen. If hell isn't real, Jesus was a liar. Not only did he lie about it one time, but it wasn't some little white lie. That's a huge lie. But it's not a lie. It's the truth. It's not cunningly devised fables. It's the truth. And Jesus is coming in power. He's coming in majesty. And they were eyewitnesses of the glory. He said, we saw, verse 17 in our text, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. And they went up on the mountain of transfiguration. They saw the glory of God. They heard the voice of God the Father. Well, that's a miracle. Yeah, he can do that. You see, for God to be true, he has to be above time, space, and matter. He has to be beyond those things, above those things. He has to be the first cause of all that we experience in this reality that we call the universe. If he's not above time, space, and matter, he can't create those things. You understand that? But God is above those things. He's beyond time, space, and matter. He spoke it all into existence. It's right there in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, that's time, God created the heavens, that's space, and the earth, that's matter. It's all right there. And then we see that he created it. That's the energy, that's the power that's in this universe today. And they saw the glory of God. They heard the voice of the Father. If you want to write this down, you can read about it in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. And Peter and James and John go up, and Jesus was configured, and they saw Moses and Elijah talking there, but Jesus in all of his glory, the voice of the Father, and he says, listen, we were eyewitnesses. We were eyewitnesses. Man, what an incredible thing. To have this account from Peter, to have the account that we read in Matthew, to have the account when these people who were there and saw these things and eyewitnesses who passed on their eyewitness accounts, to be able to open our Bibles and to read about those eyewitness accounts, that's awesome. But we've got something even better than an eyewitness account. We have eyewitness testimony. That's awesome. Peter said, I was there, I saw it. But look at verse 19. Not only eyewitness testimony, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Well, what in the world is he talking about? Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Okay, Peter, we've got this more sure word of prophecy, and it's really, really good. We would do well to listen to it, just like using a light when you're in the dark. That's a good idea. But what is it? Well, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, okay, it's not just some personal idea, it's not some personal explanation. This is something beyond some man's idea. This isn't just some personal explanation of life and the universe and heaven and hell. This isn't just somebody making this up. What is it then, Peter? Well, you see, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is God-breathed. And just like the wind, this is exactly the same phraseology that Acts used when it talks about when the Apostle Paul and they were going to be in the shipwreck and the wind drave the ship. It's the same word that's used here, that they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Like the wind moves a ship, the Spirit of God moved the prophets. It caused them to go and say and do and write down exactly what the Spirit of God wanted them to write down. It's a more sure word of prophecy. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verses 24 through 27. Romans 16, 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him that is able, that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. What was it that Paul's writing to the Romans? What is the message that he's giving? What's the message that the prophets had? There were some things that were hidden. There were some truths that were not known. But when Christ came, he made all things known. In his life, in his ministry, in his death and resurrection, he brings all of these mysteries to light. We like that word mystery. It's fun, right? Well, who doesn't like a good mystery? But when we read mystery in the Bible, don't think it's some kind of strange mystical thing. It's just this was a truth that was previously not known that God has made known. What is that? Jesus Christ of Nazareth? His death and resurrection? The establishment of his church? The bringing in of all nations into one in Christ? There's no more Jews and everybody else, but all are one in Christ? These are the mysteries that he made known. And they're things that the prophets wrote about in his word. Take heed as unto a light in a dark place. I want to tell you today that you do well to take heed to the Bible. You do well to read it and heed it. You do well to learn it and to live by it. Hear it and obey it. Trust and obey. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 4, 18 and 19, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Can I just remind you this morning that this world is full of darkness? You may think things are going great in the world. Unemployment's really low, and the economy seems to be doing a little bit better, depending on which news outlet you listen to. You may think, you know, things are pretty good. The kids are back in school, so that's good. But I want you to know that this world is filled with darkness. And all of the things that the world has to offer, they are not light. Jesus Christ is light. He is the true light that shines in the darkness. The Word of God is light. It's a lamp unto your path. I just want you to know today that you do well to believe the Bible and live by the Bible, because it's the only source of light in this world today. Amen. Ultimately, it's light because it is the Word of God, and Christ is the Word of God, and He is the light. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You see, this book claims to be the very Word of God. It doesn't claim to be a good book. It doesn't claim to be a helpful book. It doesn't claim to be anything less than the very Word of God. And so that means that if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to believe the Bible, you're going to have to come up to this decision. If you get witnessed to by a Christian, you're going to have to come up to this. Either you believe the Bible is the Word of God or you don't. I want to give you some evidences, and I want you to be reminded of what the Bible says very quickly. God promised to give His Word, and He promised to preserve His Word. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:160, Thy Word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalm 12:6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You need to understand today that you're not saved by anything else but faith in the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23-25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. What is the word of God? Well, it's all scripture. There's a lot of debate today about how we got this Bible. Some have the idea that it was put together by some council in Nicaea. I want you to know the Lord's church has had the Bible from the beginning. And as it was written down, it was copied down and passed around to the churches. As they used that Word of God, it was compiled together. And listen, friends, God's churches put together the canon of the Bible. These scriptures, it wasn't decided what was supposed to be in the Bible in 300 A.D., what was in the Bible was confirmed later by some of those councils, but it was already there. It's already there. And God has given us His Word, and He's preserved His Word, and you can trust it today. You know, there's a lot of things we could talk about. You know, the Bible is accurate historically and archaeologically. There are a lot of been skeptics that have come along, and they've said, well, the Bible's not true because it talks about this guy, and he wasn't there, but they'll go and do digs, and they'll find exactly what the Bible says. It happens over and over. James Mann wrote in an article for U.S. News and World Report, a wave of archaeological discoveries is altering old ideas about the roots of Christianity and Judaism, affirming that the Bible is more historically accurate than many scholars thought. Shocking. And amazing. You guys, it's no secret that I love science. I love things in the Bible that can that are scientific, and I think that stuff's neat. But did you know that almost 500 years before Eratosthenes proved mathematically that the earth was a sphere, Isaiah declared in Isaiah 40:22, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are grasshoppers, as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." I mean, we're talking about thousands of years ago. The Bible declares what there are still people on the planet today arguing about. Did you know there are still flat earthers today in 2019? That's a thing? You just need to read their Bible. Or maybe get one and then read it. Did you notice that he says that he stretches out the heavens like a curtain? You know what Einstein says space was? He said it was like a fabric. You know what Hubble discovered? That the universe is expanding. Well, that's amazing. It's almost like God stretching it out like a curtain. Come on, people. How about this? You know, they used to think that the earth was attached to the back of a giant sea turtle swimming through the cosmos. I mean, that's what people really believed. That was the top minds of their day. That's what they literally believed. Others believed that it sat on pillars, that it was just built up on a pillar like their coliseums and things, that it just stood on something, this foundation. The Bible says in Job 26:7, Job, probably the oldest book in your Bible, he says, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing." That's a pretty good way to describe it. Matthew Morey undertook research project based on Scripture. He was in charge of the Depot of Charts and Instruments in the Hydrographic Office of the United States Navy way back in 1841 to 1861, and he read Psalm 8:8. He said, "The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas." And so Maury said, well, if the Bible says there's paths in the seas, then they must be there. He went out and found them, and the ocean currents that ocean liners still use today were discovered because a man believed the Bible. We could talk about so much more. Let me give you one more of those scientific things. The collapse of the universe. I heard a cosmetologist. I have a hard time with that. Because I think I cosmologist, not a cosmetologist, not a makeup guy, but a study of the heavens, one of those. Yeah, whatever. He'd probably do better with makeup. Because you see, this man who hates the God he says he doesn't believe in, but he is a brilliant scientist in his field. But in studying the heavens, he's determined that it appears to him that the universe will eventually fold back in on itself. You see, for years we were taught that it was stretching out like a rubber band and then it would collapse back on itself. But now they believe it's folding in on itself. Eventually it will. Well, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 says, "Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not." You see, we can look at archaeology, we can look at science, we can look at prophecy. The prophecies in Scripture are amazing. Scoffers still to this day despise the book of Daniel because of its incredible prophetic accuracy. The book of Isaiah. I wanted to give you just a few just about Jesus. Micah 5:2 prophesied that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Jesus can't self-fulfill prophecies about where he would be born. Like he kicked Mary's stomach a certain direction. Go that way. But he was born in Bethlehem. Messiah was prophesied to be born of a virgin. Obviously, Jesus, well, I guess he did have a hand in that, didn't he? The Spirit of God came on Mary and she became a child. Messiah would spend a time in Egypt and be called out. Hosea 11 says he would be called out of Egypt, and we know they fled into Egypt and were called out. A massacre of children would happen at Messiah's birthplace, Jeremiah 31:15 prophesied. And Herod, in his madness and rage, murdered those children, those boys, 2 years old and under. Messiah would be called a Nazarene, Isaiah 11:1 said. And Jesus, when they came back from Egypt, they didn't go down to Bethlehem where he was born, but back to Nazareth where he was raised up. Psalm 8:2 said Messiah would be praised by little children, and the little children came to Jesus. The price they put on Jesus' head, that blood money, would be used to buy a potter's field, Zechariah 11. Messiah would be spit upon and beaten. Messiah would be crucified with criminals. Messiah would be given vinegar to drink. His hands and his feet would be pierced, Psalm 22. Soldiers would gamble for his garment, Psalm 22. His bones would not be broken, Psalm 34, 20. The soldiers would pierce his side, Zechariah 12:10. Messiah would be buried with the rich, Isaiah 53:9. And greatest of all, Messiah would resurrect from the dead. I just want to remind you today, you can look at the Bible historically, archaeologically, scientifically. You can look at it prophetically. And you're going to find the Word of God to be true. Amen. Some of you feel bad. I don't want to question the Bible. I would say this. If you want to question the Bible, you feel free to do that. But what you're going to find is the Bible is true. Amen. And I would plead with you not to believe it because I say so, but you ought to study it out for yourself. Amen. Know these things to be true. But ultimately, we've got to come to God by faith. I can give you all the evidence in the world that I could ever find about the Bible and why it's true and why you should believe it, but sooner or later, you're going to have to come to a place where you decide whether you believe it or not. For it is impossible to please Him without faith. We must believe. What is it we believe in? Well, we trust in the more sure word of prophecy. So let me ask you this morning, what do you believe about the Bible? Good book? Some good moral teachings on how to live? I mean, the golden rule's in there, so it's good. But I kind of don't really like some of that stuff, you know, guys getting swallowed by a whale and living for 3 days and, you know, the Red Sea parting and some of that crazy stuff. I'm not sure about all that. And I really don't like the stuff about hell. Well, let me help you out today. You don't get to pick and choose. Either it's the Word of God or it's not. I'm here to tell you today that it's true, and every word of it's true. Amen. It has things in there that are not good. It tells us about the wicked deeds of men. It tells us about the failings of men who were trying to follow God and failed. It tells us all of these truths. It doesn't leave anything hidden, but it's all here in the revelation of Scripture. And I want to plead with you today to believe it. Believe it all the way. And when you believe it, it's going to change your behavior. See, if you believe that there is a hell and there's a heaven and Jesus is the only way, then you'll behave differently. You'll repent and trust in Christ and be saved. Amen. You believe that He died for you and rose again. You believe that He saved you and given you eternal life. It'll change the way that you live your life. Amen. I just really want to say today, trust and obey the Word of God. Amen. If you've never been born again, you can trust Jesus today. You can be saved. If you're saved, you've never been baptized, you need to follow Jesus in scriptural baptism. You need to join with this local body of believers and serve Him in the church. If you've been struggling with doubt, you've turned to the right hand or to the left, you can get back on the straight and narrow today. You just repent. Amen. And get back in the Word of God. Let's stand together this morning. Have you received the gift of eternal life? I mean, do you know without any doubt that when you die, when this life is over, you'll spend eternity in heaven with God? You can know that today. If you'll repent of your sin and unbelief, you'll trust in Christ alone, you can be saved. You're saved, you know you're saved, but you need to be baptized. You're saved and baptized, but you know some things aren't right between you and the Lord. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart this morning, I beg you, stop caring what other people think. Swallow your pride. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God as He draws you today.
Page 521.